Internet usage and gaming are considered popular hobbies for many Australians, but what could the effect be on psychological health? Is internet and gaming addiction becoming, in fact, a very real problem? Or is it all just more sensationalised media hype? Nina Pace filed this report.
It probably started being a problem maybe 3 or 4 years ago. When I was about 16 or something, I got into a lot of fantasy role-playing games. I think it was mainly Oblivion, and it just started eating a lot into my time.
Irina Andreev is a 20-year-old Sydneysider. She has an active social life, a close circle of family and friends, and both work and university commitments. She's also an avid gamer.
The most recent one I've been playing is Dragon Age 2, which is the newest title by BioWare. It was only released 10th of March here, and I already have like 50 hours clocked on it. I think I had that 50 hours clocked within the first 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, if you do the math, it's I was playing it something like 9 hours per day, nonstop.
With over one-third of her day spent playing, Irina says that her mild addiction causes only one main area of concern.
Yeah, sleep is the only real thing that got affected, but because I stay up so late, I usually do it on work and uni nights as well. So sometimes I'll wake up when I'm due to leave and just find that I'm completely exhausted, and so I'll skip lectures or I'll call into work sick. Occasionally I'll find that I'll be going out with friends and, you know, we'd be somewhere having dinner or having drinks or something, and I'll just be sitting there going, I want to be home, I want a game.
But just when does internet or gaming use go from being a hobby to an addiction? Dr. Philip Tam is a child and adolescent psychiatrist from Rivendell Unit in Concord and an expert in problem internet use.
Internet addiction, in the simplest terms, could be defined as the pervasive, long-term and heavy use by a person of various internet or screen-based technologies, and that includes gaming, that is out of keeping with one's educational or social role, and which ultimately results in a clinically significant negative impact on their schooling, on their work, on their relationships, or even, in more extreme cases, on their general well-being and health.
Dr. Tam stresses that it is a spectrum disorder, and that only a small minority are classified as addicted.
It stands to reason that if there's always going to be a small percentage of people addicted, if you like, and it's interesting, most international surveys, including one or two done in Australia and Japan and in America, show that about between 5 to 8% of users of the internet and of games can suffer from problem use. It's very much a spectrum disorder. I mean, this word spectrum is very much the kind of favored term in all of mental health. We know that so many illnesses are not you either have it or you don't. The key here is where does the client or patient lie on this spectrum, from milder forms to the most extreme form? I guess by definition, as a psychiatrist, I am seeing the much more extreme forms, the kids that you could counter as kind of almost addicted. In other words, they have to come to a place like Rivendell because they've actually dropped out of school, or they're falling asleep in class, or, and this is a really important point also, they have associated features of things like depression or anxiety. One interesting question is whether kids who have pre-existing depression or anxiety or other mental health problems or things like family problems, whether these people are more vulnerable to developing problems, or whether the overuse itself can cause the depression or anxiety.
The public's gaming anxiety seems to stem from stories of starved and exhausted gaming fanatics playing for days on end.
Those extreme cases are when, if you like, that the user or the gamer gets completely immersed in the world, the virtual world, not wanting to name names of games, but there are various well-known multi-user games that millions can play online, which are quite addictive in the broadest sense, and people have often stayed up literally for days, maybe not so much in Australia, but in other countries, people basically collapsing or indeed in more extreme cases, dying of exhaustion. That's obviously the very extreme end when they are, in a sense, totally ignoring their daily functions, including, of course, eating and drinking.
Philip says that thankfully he hasn't seen these extreme and life-threatening cases of internet addiction in Australia, an outcome he puts down to cultural factors.
But I have to say, and I certainly, as I said, I don't want to sound like a scaremonger. I've never seen people personally with problems to the extent of what we've seen in basically South Korea and Japan, when young people are absolutely glued to their internet game to the extent of their, as I said, their physical health. I have not seen that personally. Obviously, in South Korea and Japan, historically, they have been countries where broadband access runs at nearly 100%. They're very much into new technologies. So there are various, if you like, cultural and social reasons that young people in Japan use computers to a much greater extent.
So for the majority of Australian gamers, it's just another outlet for letting off some steam. Steve Hunter, a 39-year-old gamer from Melbourne, agrees. With a career in IT, as well as a wife and young children at home, he says he games for the stress relief. He explained to me earlier the reasons behind his addictive behaviour.
Probably be displaying what could be shown as an addictive behaviour, where I spent 2 hours over a period of lunchtime getting dinner ready, cooking it, getting the boys ready, cleaning up after them. But during the period where I wasn't actually doing those activities, I'd be going back to the computer and I'd be spending 5 minutes playing King's Bounty, which is like a real-time strategy type of game, then pause the game, go back out, stir the food, chop up some more veg, play with the kids a little bit, go back, play another 5 minutes. So whereas rather than spending an extended period of time with just the boys, I would find activities for them to do, which meant that I could continue playing my game. So I think that's probably where my level of addiction comes from, is when I have the possibility of making a choice between doing what most fathers would probably consider to be a pleasure. I temper that by trying to manage the stress of being around very young children. And it's one of my main ways of actually burning off my stress.
Steve Hunter ended that report by Nina Pace.